Fang Banger.
Hello, and welcome to Fang Banger's podcast. We're chaotic horny friends rewatching the chaotic horny HBO series, True Blood. I'm Elise.
And I'm Melissa. And this week we're discussing season 3, episode 8, Night on the Sun. This episode originally aired on August 8th, 2010, and was written by Rael Tucker and directed by Leslie Linka-Glatter.
So today I learned that these wiki summaries are actually like the official summaries, or at least they are now.
Oh!
Because when I use my Apple TV to watch this, so this was the exact description that was on like my Apple TV for this episode.
Oh, that's so funny.
Yeah, so I guess shout out to that person that wrote that. Shaken and disillusioned, Sookie rethinks her relationship with Bill. Sophie Ann takes up a new residence as Russell plots his next move. Jessica and Bill reconcile, thank fuck. Jason throws down the gauntlet. Okay. Throws down the gauntlet. I'm sorry. I'm, like, doing commentary on this now. Throws down the gauntlet is, like, the corniest of phrases. In hopes of saving Crystal. Lafayette gets a surprise visit from his mom, Ruby Jean. Sam tries to keep Tommy in check. Merlotz gets a new waitress. Eric proves the depth of his allegiance to Russell. Sookie finds herself in a vulnerable position when Alcide needs to deal with a family emergency. It was really hard to, like, write up these notes because there's so many different fucking storylines.
There's so
I, like,
many
just dropped
happening.
Some. I was like, we don't need to talk about that. And, like, they may come up anyway, but...
I was really... This is, like, you know, how the sausage gets made or whatever, but... We weren't originally going to be on this episode, so when we decided that we were going to do this episode, we didn't talk about who was going to, like, make the
notes. Oh, yeah,
like,
we
post,
didn't.
Quote, unquote, but I'm glad it was you.
That's really funny.
Yeah, because there's a ton going on in this episode. Again, I feel like this season is a little bit less structured than the previous ones. So there is more of those, like, so many storylines, but so many of them are really fun, and I enjoy seeing a lot of the characters in the smaller storylines. Not that I'm really talking about, like, Alcide. Not that Sookie's a smaller storyline, but her time with him is, you know, fading out, it seems like.
Yeah. For sure.
So I was happy to spend a little bit more time with him.
Yeah. I'm also, like, I was so mad at Bill on Jessica's behalf. Like, I know that was not the major issue in this episode, but I wanted to punch him in the face.
Yeah.
I'll get into that later. But I also thought that this episode had a lot of good fight scenes that I... was kind of waiting for. Like, there's a bunch of things that happened in this episode. There's at least one that happened that I thought happened earlier in the season, like, between Talbot and Eric. And I think I felt, like, satisfied when it finally happened. Because I was like, doesn't that... Like, earlier in, like, a spoiler section, I think I might have said something about it. I don't remember.
Yeah.
But, like, the Debbie and Sookie, like... fight, I feel like, is pretty epic, and I don't use that word, like, a lot, but I just really loved it.
I don't know if this is going to bear fruit or not, because I haven't watched further into the season yet, but I do feel like there's somewhat of, like, a tonal shift in this episode, so I don't know. It might just be that the end of this episode, like, has a darker tone, but it feels like it could be that the end of the season is going to have a darker tone. And I'm kind of excited about that prospect because shit gets weird and fucked up and it's fun.
It is fun. Oh, that reminded me of something that I wanted to talk about in the spoiler section, actually.
Okay.
There were a couple of little... I named the section of the notes Smaller Bites. Get it? Get it? Biting?
I do.
Wink,
get it.
Wink.
I do.
And it's just a couple things I wanted to mention that I didn't think, like, needed, you know, a lot of attention.
Yeah.
Arlene has a very scary dream where Renee chokes her and says, like, my baby's going to continue, this baby's going to like continue what I started, basically. This is alarming as hell, and like, girl needs to come clean and go to therapy.
Yes. Yes. Tell the truth. I mean, this is so clearly a manifestation of mm-hmm. Arlene's like trauma at the hands of Renee, and also her fear about having his baby and the guilt of telling Terry like this lie of omission. I don't know if I think it's like a mirror exactly, but I mean, it is interesting that like now Arlene and Terry are a paired couple and they both have PTSD.
Yeah, that's interesting. I didn't think of it that way.
Yeah. So on the one hand, it's like maybe Terry would be really understanding of this. But on the other hand, it's like maybe Terry's not going to be able to handle this lie because
yeah,
intimacy is an issue for him. So, I mean, we'll just see.
Yeah, there's I do think that I think Terry, I know Arlene is scared, but I think if she had told him right off the bat, like, I think he would have still reacted like, I'm going to be a dad. Like, he would have still, like, stepped up, I think.
100%.
There were actually two really creepy dreams in this episode, and I didn't even make that connection because, like, when I write the notes, I kind of go in chronological order, but I move sections as needed, like, rather than, yeah. Yes. So I was like, oh, now I'm looking back and I'm like, Tara had a really creepy dream also about Franklin, and I fucking hate this. Please do not make Tara have a fucking sexy dream about her abuser. Like, I know. Arlene had this, like, scary dream about Renee, but Renee did not, like, abuse her, to my knowledge.
Yes.
So I'm just like, this just feels so much worse. And I honestly was like, fuck you, show. Like, I didn't like this.
I think it's extra awful for the show to do this because the sexual relationship with Tara is so complicated. Like, Tara and Franklin, because they did have sex the first time and she was into it. And so we know that there would be, we know that that's, you know, there's probably complex, at least at the very least, like, physical memory of her time with Franklin. But in combination with her spending time with Lafayette in this episode, talking in, like, a very powerful speech about how determined she was to live and to survive, and the things that we saw her do in order to make that happen, that the show thinks that Tara deserves to have this added complication of, like, a sex dream about this person. It's like, I'm sure there are complicated feelings, but it's really not the show's business to, like, put them out there. I mean, it really is the show's business because... But the thing is we've talked so many times about how we don't feel like these writers treat Tara well.
Yes.
And so that's why I'm like, you had no right to even
touch
this.
They're treating it like any other old, this person drank this person's blood, so now they're having sex dreams about them. Like, it feels so divorced from, like, what happened to her, except for, like, when she wakes up and realizes that she's had that dream. It just, I don't like it.
Because now that dream is just, like, adding, I think, to, like, her fear responses that are stemming from all these events. Because it's, like, from my perspective, it's, like, oh, now she can't even trust herself.
I know.
Like, she can't trust
her
own mind.
That one scene where she drops the true blood. Like, she's just having, like, all these reactions.
I think that's horrible. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, it's affecting her life, and it's affecting her job, and it's sad. I'm making a sad face. I know you can all see me since we're on a podcast. Or can't see me, because I'm on a podcast. A couple of things happen with Sam's family. Melinda comes to say goodbye to Tommy and Sam, and she's like, I don't blame you for leaving, and I agree with Tommy. Like, she should be leaving, too. Like, fuck Jolie. Like,
yes.
But, of course, she kind of hits Sam up for some money on her way out, although doesn't think he gave her enough.
Yeah. Sam's like, are you kidding me? Like,
I mean, I feel like Sam knows them by now, that he should know that, like, no, she's not kidding you.
I think that Melinda should leave. And that's it.
Yeah.
Like, she's like, he's my husband. And it's like, who cares? Like, these are your children.
Yeah.
Like, this is your blood. And, like, even if they were adopted children, it's still children. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, I don't really... I mean, I've never been married, and I've thankfully not been in a situation where my husband made me be in a dog fight. But, like, I just can't imagine thinking that that was, like, something I needed to stick with. But I know that it's very complicated, and it's yes. not easy for a victim to leave their abuser.
Yes.
Especially in a domestic violence situation. So I don't want to make light of that. It's hard to watch. Yeah. It is hard to watch, though.
Yes. Well, especially just what the show has told us, which is that Sam is willing to support them if they're here. So she wouldn't need to worry about money. And she says that she is leaving because Jolie wouldn't make it without her. Who cares?
Yeah. Like, let that guy die, honestly.
But I do agree with the serious comments you made. Yeah. Because, I mean, I don't like thinking about what is going to become of Melinda now, because we know it's going to be horrible.
Yeah. I don't remember if we find out, honestly.
I don't either.
This happens a little bit later, but Sam mentions going to college to Tommy as, like, one of his, like, options. Mm-hmm. And I really feel like Tommy is not going to college. Like, he wouldn't want to. He seemed to, like, kind of like working on cars. Like, I don't think college is for everyone, and I think that's just, like, a rich, like, privileged person put that comment in Sam's mouth. Like, I don't think that, like, is true. I don't think Sam would have said that to Tommy, actually.
Yes. Yes. And if the point is to show that Sam and Tommy still have work to do getting to know each other, you know, there's a lot of ways that yeah. could have been done. He does tell Tommy that he's not allowed to flirt with Tara, which makes me laugh. And I'm like, so you do know Tommy a little
yeah.
bit.
Yeah, Tommy has eyes.
Which is so funny now that I am seeing these things written next to each other, because someone has to tell Sam where not to put his dick in the same episode.
Oh my god, that was Brothers. So funny. Like, here's our new waitress, Holly Cleary. Don't bang her, basically. Or does he say don't? Did she say don't have sex with her?
I think okay. so. I think so.
So she was a little bit nice about it. I don't want to get into it too much, but, like, I do remember liking Holly, like, in general,
mm-hmm.
as a character. Mm-hmm. So, look forward to that. And more about her in the spoiler. That was who I wanted to add a thing about in the spoiler section.
Okay. Ever since Jason said that he thinks that Crystal's named after the champagne, which is Crystal?
Yes.
I can't stop saying her name as Crystal.
I think that we should just call her Crystal. That reminds me, I know.
It's better than if she's really named after Crystal Meth.
I know. I don't think that you are this far in Archer, because I think you only watch Archer with me, and we didn't watch it last time.
It's true.
That we were together, because I'm, like, way further down in my rewatch of it. In any case, there's one season where Cheryl Carroll is, like, going by Crystal. It's like, I might have been one episode, but it was really funny. Although, Crystal is rich as shit. I don't know if you knew that yet, but, like, sorry, Cheryl, not Crystal. Apology. Cheryl on Archer is very rich. Crystal. So, like, her Crystal to her is, like, you know, it makes sense.
Yeah, that's funny.
So, Jason and Crystal, what do we think about these yeah. two?
Well, Jason's storyline right now is just getting, like, so many of these little extra score touches. Like, we called out when it was, like, banjo music when Jason was chasing Crystal in the forest.
Yes.
And now he's getting this, like, military-ass, like, drum line in the background, like, while he's getting out his Fellowship of the Sun weapons, like, when he takes his gun and leave. And I'm like, they're just doing the most with Jason's scenes, just matching, like, the score. So I think that's really funny. But I like a lot of these scenes moment to moment. I just think Jason's an idiot.
Yeah. He does not have as much paramilitary training as he thinks he does.
Yeah, and she, like, shows up with a black guy, and we find out that her and her fiancé were promised to each other when they were 4 years old.
Yeah.
So this is a really big deal for her to leave him.
Yeah, that's yes.
We knew it was a big deal because of her energy the whole time.
Yeah, she was very erratic. Did not
believe this. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Jason's like, oh, I was in a cult. They washed my brain.
Okay, I do think that I think it's a little overused, the they washed my brain thing with regards to cults, in the sense that I feel like they say that in a lot of shows and media. But I
oh, that's really funny.
But I love it every single time. Like, it is overused, but it makes me laugh every single time.
Oh my god, I feel like this is my first time. I wonder if it's gonna, you know, be what? Like, I hear this all the time now.
I don't think she says washed my brain, but there's a line in 1, 2, 3 when Scarlett is telling Mr. McNamara about, like, the things that she's done in East Berlin. She's like,
yes.
And there was, like, some phrasing, like, about her mind, and it just was funny. It reminded me of that, maybe.
Yeah, that is really funny. But, yeah, I love this. I'm glad you did.
So, yeah. So, Felton, which is, like, the worst name, she told Felton they're not getting married anymore. Like, this is off screen or whatever. We didn't see this happen. And that is why she came and had a black eye. I always have to say black eye really slow because I always worry it's going to sound like black guy.
Black guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's still acting like very strange. Like, she keeps asking for his keys and he's like, I will take you wherever you need to go. Like, you don't need the actual, like, car keys. And I actually felt like Jason was being smart for, like, once in his life in that. Like, I,
because she was definitely gonna steal
his, yeah, car. Like, he was never gonna see that car again ever. And then, you know, they have the sex. And
we're together now.
Yeah, they're like, we're, you know, this is it.
DTR.
Yeah. It was like very like the stereotype of like the U-Haul lesbian. But yeah, so he was like, she's like shivering kind of, and he's like, what's wrong? And she's like, well, I haven't eaten since like this morning. And like, she's very her living situation feels very precarious to me. She doesn't seem to have, like, great food stability. Like, all she knows how to do is cook meth. Like, she doesn't know how to do anything else. And so he's like, I'll get you some food. But he goes and grabs a shotgun.
Like, you're an...
Yeah.
You're an idiot.
Like, what was he gonna go... He went there by himself. Like, that was just so dumb.
When she's, like, so scared and he's telling her that he'll take care of it and everything, she says, like, you don't know them. And it is such a stereotypical Jason line, but I loved it when he's like, they don't know me. And I'm like, sir, there's not, like, much to know.
Yeah. Like, and also, like, and I don't think that this is super spoilery because they're hinting that there's something going on there. I mean.
Yes.
Is that, you know, her dad comes into, her dad and Felton come into Merlot's, like, looking for her, and, like, Sam and Tommy kind of are like, what's that smell? And the dad immediately clocks that Sam is a shifter. So, and we saw Crystal smelling the woods that one time when she was with Jason the first time. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, they're hinting at something. So I don't know if they're, like, going to be like Sam or, you know, something else, or very curious.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, they come into Merlot's and they're ready to have a fight. And so is Tommy.
Yeah. Oh.
He will square up with anyone at any time, especially when he's like, when they call Sam out as a shifter. Tommy is shook and still ready to fight.
Tommy's.
Honestly, I love him.
I think it's insane. Like, I would be like, this is none of my business. Goodbye.
If it comes to a physical, like, when do Tommy and Jason meet?
Oh, my God. When? I don't remember.
Oh, they're going to love each other.
Or hate each other.
Hoyt's going to be like, you can't be friends with Tommy because he flirts with Jessica. And she likes it.
And Hoyt would be correct. Bro coding and all. Yeah. No, I actually, like, don't believe in that for real. But it would just sounded funny. Like, they would believe that. yeah, so Jason shows up in Hot Shot and is like, anyone here, like, Jesus Christ, he doesn't know anything about these people. I don't even think he understands that these people are, like, selling drugs with Lafayette. Like, he doesn't know these things. Or buying.
He didn't even blink when she was like, the only thing I know how to do in my life is cook crystal meth. Like, I'm not judging her, but there is an association of, like, ruthlessness and violence that I'm associating with someone who has cooked or know where they are cooking crystal
meth. Yeah, like, that is a scene I want nothing to do with.
And Jason is just, well, Jason just thinks that,
well, he's
every time he does anything like this, it works out fine.
Yeah, so that's true. He kind of feels like he does. I mean, it works out fine until, like, your vampire murderer girlfriend does die. But then he, like, gets off for it. So, and I just feel like Jason is a very lucky boy.
Yes. And he also says, like, I'll bring the full might of the sheriff's department. It's like, the Hill? You're not a police officer. And for two, the full might? You and Andy Belfour? Like,
there's literally four employees.
Kenny is not going to have anything to do with this bullshit.
There's
none.
Four people that work there.
The full might. I don't know if that's even the exact.
I don't remember what he says either.
That's what he meant. That was the same energy. When Jason's there, he sees, like, one of Crystal's family members or, like, I don't know, some other person in Hotshot, like, as a human being, just, like, a human person eating a deer carcass. No fire, no forks, just face first in it. And that is something to note, I think.
Yeah, I had actually forgotten that because I usually watch the episodes twice, but I watched the episode and then wrote my notes and then, like, didn't watch it a second time. Sorry, everyone.
It's fine.
But yeah, that was gross too. That felt very I mean, I know it was like a deer, not like a human, but it felt very Yellow Jackets to me.
Just like,
which I love Yellow Jacket.
It's
yeah.
Just, it doesn't need to be eaten like that. I hope nobody in the raw carnivore community has been listening to this podcast up to this moment and is now furious.
I mean, if we were going to capture any kind of audience with vampires, it would be that community. I wonder what's their, like, website name.
I've seen some of their Facebook groups, but we are going down a path that we just do not.
I did not know it was a real thing until you just said I saw some of their Facebook groups. I thought we were making jokes until then.
I get served a lot of weird Facebook content. Nice.
I was making jokes, people, so. But also, like, offense intended, so we're fine. No, I do think that there are probably people of different, I have to say this now, different cultures that have different, like, visions of food and, like, how you should eat food and what you should do with food than totally. Melissa and I have, but it still grosses me out a little bit.
I know that there are some, like, there's even some, like, autoimmune disease and, like, different
interesting
where it's like a raw diet is better and, like, you know, food allergies happen, so,
yeah, like,
you know,
my allergies are kind of opposite. Like, I have to have most food cooked. Like, there's a lot of vegetables I can't have raw.
Yeah, so there's reasons for people to eat the how they are, and the people I'm making fun of are people who, like, took the keto diet too.
Yeah,
like, sorry,
that's bad. The keto diet's bad enough. So, anyway.
Okay, any dang way.
We do not like diet culture. I will just say that.
No, we don't. We hate it, actually.
Yeah, quite a lot.
All food is good food. There's literally no moral value to it at all.
And on that note, the next, I was going to make, like, a transition. There's, like, a nurse in the next story or something. that brings us to, no, I'm just kidding. Next, I wanted to talk about Lafayette and Ruby Jean and Jesus. Ruby Jean escapes her facility and shows up at Lafayette's store, which is, like, I forgot that that had happened prior to it happening.
She's worried that something is coming to get Lafayette.
Yeah, she thinks she's, like, going to protect him.
Yeah.
I appreciate that Lafayette does not call the cops and just calls like Jesus yes. directly. I feel like even if Lafayette was not dealing drugs, he still would have called Jesus, not the police.
Yes.
And
for multiple
yeah
reasons.
And I appreciate that, and I think that's something
Jesus
and
is hot.
Yeah, like I think like that is something that I notice more now in 2024 than I would have noticed yes. in 2010. Yes. Like, if, like, there are certain situations where I'm, like, watching something older, and, like, obviously Lafayette doesn't call them, but, like, where someone in his situation does call the police, and, you know, things may go fine, and I'm like, that is not at all how that would go down.
It's a plot hole.
Yeah.
Ruby Dean, like, does a physical jump scare reaction when she sees Jesus, and it was so funny. I loved it.
Alfre Woodard is so great in this.
Yes.
I just really like her in general. Like, she's really good at playing that, like, she's in the Star Trek TNG movie, First Contact, and she has a lot of scenes with Patrick Stewart in that movie, and it's, like, really fun to watch them just, like, interact, because, like, she's like, what the fuck is going on? Because, like, it's a time travel movie, so, like, he's from the future, mm-hmm. and she's from, like, 2063, I think. And so it's, like, really fun to watch those interactions. She's just very good at the drama.
She's obviously offensive and straight up mean.
Oh, yeah.
But she's, all of her little clips she's making are delivered in a way that, like, makes me laugh and that I feel guilty about it. And, like,
Melissa, you're such a homophobe. Jesus... I'm just kidding.
I know. And, like, her calling Jesus Jesus, like,
yeah.
is a horrible thing to do.
Yeah.
But it's so funny. I'm sorry.
Oh, no. I think it's funny that she refuses to, like, do anything besides what she wants to do. That's, like, what's funny about it.
Yeah.
It's not, like, funny saying his name wrong. Yeah. No, I agree with you completely. I did get a little frustrated, and, like, I think it's fine in the end that Lafayette didn't get to, like, fully explain the V-selling situation to Jesus, mostly because it is something that bothers me when I don't get to fully explain myself, to somebody. Mm-hmm. Like, even if I'm over-explaining, mm-hmm. I like to, like, make sure the other person's understanding me, and he doesn't really get to do that, but I do think that Jesus kind of, like, either believes him or decides that he likes him too much to, like, worry about that right now. And either one of those things is yeah. probably fine for now.
I sort of think it's, like, somewhere in the yeah. middle where it's, like, I'm sure Jesus thinks that there are other options for Lafayette, but at this point, like, trust Lafayette's judgment, maybe?
Yeah.
But it's wonderful because they get to kiss each
yes,
other.
Yes, it was really cute. I loved it.
I really loved all of the talk about, like, Lafayette's power and, like, his energy. I just thought that was an interesting touch. Like, obviously there's, like, real magic in this show and there's vampires and such, but the talk of, like, a universal, like, spiritual type energy, like, we don't talk, to this point, at least we haven't talked much about that, but I really liked it. So, Jesus is worried that Lafayette's energy is going to go dark if he's involved in drug dealing and, like, dark acts. And I just think that that is a lovely thing to be worried about for this new hot boy you love.
I know.
I don't want to put words.
It's really funny. I've been noticing over the last, like, few years watching Below Deck and talking with people, and, like, just Below Deck is one of those shows where there's people from, like, other countries on, and I think that Americans mm-hmm. tend to, like, hold back the word love a lot more than other mm-hmm. like countries, like, when they're, or, like, they'll joke about love more, like, oh, you love them, but, like, even if it's just, like, and so when you said love, it felt very much like that, in, like, a very nice way, and to the point where, like, I didn't think you, like, we're serious, like, they're so in love or whatever, but, like, I felt it was it was a nice way to talk about it. That's been Below Deck Corner.
Yeah, I loved it.
Okay, so there's that scene where Ruby Jean is holding a knife, like, at her son, basically, mm-hmm. and, Lafayette's like really tense, and understandably, this, you know, stuff like this probably happened when he was younger. I mean, his mother is schizophrenic, and things happen. And I'm going to be honest, I don't fully know how like doing an act like that ties into schizophrenia. I'm really not sure what a lot of the symptoms are. I had a friend growing up who was schizophrenic and did a violent thing, and they thought that they were protecting someone from someone else, and so that felt like a lot to me to watch that, having known a situation like that. But I will say that this whole scene and like the way that Jesus handles it is like exactly why you shouldn't call the police, or like if you call for help, it should be not the police that comes and deals with a mental health issue. A social worker or a nurse or some sort of specialist would know what the person needs better than like a patrol officer who like, mm-hmm. who knows how much mental health training they would even get.
Yeah.
And so I'm really glad that Jesus went to Lafayette's and dealt with this himself, even though it was his day off. And I was really happy to like not see her like off in cuffs.
Yes, I agree. And I think it's really important to mention, just because like so many things, but the fact that police officers should not be responding to mental health crises is something that's very important to me. So I'll just leave it at that. Like, that is not their job. And then another conversation can be whether the job of the police should exist at all. But what it definitely isn't is helping people through mental health crises. That's it.
Yes. Agree. On a more positive note, I will say that the sexual tension between Jesus and Lafayette is like...
it's great.
Yeah, I love it. I did like a symbol Wonderful. With my hand, which I think now looks like some sort of fascist thing. But like, it was like, I meant to say like, it's great. Like, chef's kiss.
Yes.
You know who's not having a great time? I'm really into these like super corny transitions I'm doing.
I love it. Who is telling me who's having a bad time?
I would say Sophie Ann is basically having a tantrum as she moved into Russell's house. Talbot is also pissed off. They're like, who wanted this? Russell apparently wanted this.
Russell's like, I just got all of Louisiana.
Like, be proud of me. Be happy for me.
Please stop.
So I wanted to talk about Talbot and Sophie Ann and Eric and a little bit of Russell and Hadley as well. They're all in there. So Russell tells Talbot that he killed the Magister, and like the way that Talbot reacts to that is like, okay, shit is officially off the rails in this house. Like, what the fuck is happening?
Yeah, it's really bad. Russell does it very cavalierly, as if this is just something
I cleaned my shoe or something, like something
could or should have happened. Like, I didn't recognize them anymore. And we've never seen who backs the Magister.
Yeah.
So we don't really know
either. We don't know who the authority is.
This reaction from Talbot really sells it. This is very bad.
Yeah.
This is bad. And I love when Russell like describes this as acting somewhat impulsively. It's like you killed that like the highest face power in the land. Like,
yeah,
you think?
I'm gonna make you quote this, by the way. After that scene, Debbie shows up to talk to Russell and says,
they killed my cooter.
That was amazing. It's
so funny.
It's so fucking like, funny.
I can't imagine they even got through filming this without somebody being like, honestly, phrasing. Like, why did you name him this?
100%. Oh my God. So Debbie's really upset that her cooter is gone. And she wants to go after Suki and stuff, and Russell's like, you know what, we'll be able to like, we'll be able to fuck with Suki before this is all done, basically.
I like that even with Eric like playing his role that he's playing right now, he's like, but Sookie is a special cunt. Yes. And, you know, maybe it'd be better for you, if we didn't kill her.
Yeah. It is funny because, like, Sookie doesn't know that he's, like, playing both sides. Like, she, the way they left it was, like, he was, like, bi, like, you know, whatever.
She's pissed at him, yeah.
So
she said, help me, and he said, no, yeah. And she'll, that's unforgivable.
And, like, I do think he's been, like, subtly helping her a little bit, but, like, in the book, he's, like, really helping her.
Yes.
So that's a lot different. Yes. But, yeah, he's doing some, like, convincing to Russell in show acting, but I think us knowing him, like, it's not convincing me, but it's not supposed to convince me.
I love
me.
It, though. It's so it fun is really to watch fun. Him do this. All the stuff that he's saying is, like, amazing. Like, I've been, because it all has, like, these double entendres, especially because you know, like, what he means. Like, I've been searching for you for a thousand years. I've been looking for a true leader. Like, I will show you how deep my loyalty runs. Like, these are not lies.
You know what it reminds me of?
Mean what Russell thinks it means. What?
It reminds me, and this is like spoilers for Gideon the Ninth, but it reminds me of the way Kithareya talks to them.
Yeah.
And she's like, I didn't lie to you guys.
Yeah. True. And we haven't done any spoilers if we stop right now.
Yeah. No, we're done. That was all I was going to say. But it just like hit me. It kind of reminds me of
100%.
That.
100%. Yeah. The same. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, and it's good too. Like, don't you just love now Eric's sweater is like bloody. Like, how incredible that I was like, I love that sweater. And then he never changed again.
I love it.
But now it's like bloody and he has like very intense eyes. It's a lot to deal with. I can see how Talbot was taking it.
Yes. So Eric also wants to get a message to Sookie. So he like grabs Hadley in like a very scary way. Like, she's horrified because she doesn't know from Eric. And it's like, I need you to get this message to her and tell her nothing else. It's like very dramatic.
You should have said and tell her that I'm a double agent.
Yeah, exactly.
But I understand why he
couldn't. Yeah, I want to talk more about that bit when we talk about Sookie. Like the actual delivering of the message and all of that.
Okay.
We do have some more Talbot and Russell fighting, and Talbot basically throws a tantrum, like, kind of equal to, actually worse than Sophie Ann's earlier, and he's just, like, throwing their possessions around, and Eric sees, like, his father's crown, it might be next, and was like, I'll keep him company, like, I got this.
What if we stopped doing a destruction?
Yes. So I will say, like, this scene with Talbot and Eric is what I thought had happened earlier in the season. Like, the first time they meet, I thought this happened then, and then it didn't happen, and I'm like, am I misremembering this? But I did really enjoy the scene where Eric is like kind of cheekily like, I haven't done this in a long time, and Talbot assumes he means like a man, but he's like, no, like a vampire. But yeah, Eric is like, we should get some like, he's like playing into it, he's trying to get his trust to be like, oh, we should have some
Talbot
privacy.
Is like, I'm bored, take your clothes
off.
And Eric's is like, yeah, I will, with no witnesses.
Yeah, and I just love that. It really works for Eric, and it also plays into, you know.
And I do feel like, because we're gonna pick some nits about consent later in the episode, I do feel like if you're gonna murder someone during, it's not acceptable to have sex with them.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Like, just from a consent perspective. However, I enjoy that there's a sex scene right here. I think it's fun.
I mean, it didn't go on for very long, so.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. And then, yeah.
But yeah, he's gonna for sure kill Talbot.
Yeah, bye.
And he does.
Bye. I liked Talbot so much my first time. I was like really sad when this happened.
It's funny. It's and especially kind of funny
because,
this time.
Yeah, especially because I was in college. I didn't think really about, like, how character motivation and, like, how story worked. So, like, I just imagined myself like not really following what Eric is doing and just being like, I like Talbot, don't kill him.
Yeah, no, I got you.
And not following as much this like 1,000-year-long quest Eric's been on that's finally coming to fruition. Right. And he's going to like grasp it, you know, at the risk of losing Sookie.
Yeah. And I do wonder about that a little bit, because I was thinking like he's had, you know, they've shared blood now, I guess. I think in the show. I can never remember. But like, I wonder if he feels her like in like scared and all that. While it's happening.
I think it's been a while. Okay. Does that stuff wear off?
Probably.
Because I know he hasn't had her, or she, yeah, he hasn't had her blood since, I don't remember when, although I know he's had some of it. And she hasn't had his blood since Dallas, which was probably yesterday. Just kidding.
Right. it's 2 minutes ago. Yeah, probably since the, like, explosion, maybe?
Yeah, that's, yeah.
All right. I was just
that's
curious.
When she had his, yeah. Speaking of blood relations.
Oh, I love it. That was perfect. Bill comes home and Jessica is so happy to see him. She's like, I missed you, basically. And tries to tell him, like, immediately what happened with the trucker. And he just, without warning, is like, I release you. And she's like, what the fuck does that even mean? You cannot use these words with her if she doesn't understand their meaning. Like, he's a horrible trainer, teacher, maker, whatever you want to call him. Like, she doesn't know anything about the hierarchy of vampires or the history of vampires or anything. Like, I'm so angry. She's been, like, struggling for, like, half a season, and he's just coming to ditch her. And I hate myself a little bit for saying this. Nevertheless, she persisted. And she does persist, and eventually Bill comforts her.
Yeah. To be honest, I respect your anger, and I like it, and I feel that it is a correct response. But it's just like, this is just like so sad.
I
because
know.
Like, Bill cannot make a good choice to literally save somebody's
life really
right
can't.
Now. Like, him keeping a distance from Sookie is like sort of how she ended up in danger in Jackson, because if he, you know, whatever, it doesn't matter. He could have like had her secured, you know, with knowledge that she didn't need to run after him if he got kidnapped or whatever. I don't know. Like, whatever. Who cares? But you abandoning Jessica because you're worried that your enemies are going to get to her, is that's not going to stop your enemies from getting to her. That's just going to leave her unprepared. Like, you are 300 years old or whatever the fuck. Like, Bill's a dumbass.
This basically happened in season 3 of Picard, and I was angry about it then too. And I will say nothing more.
I feel like that is so valid. Yeah, they need vampire family therapy like so badly, because this is, and I love Jessica so much. She's such a wonderful character, and I love that she is able to express like her needs, and even though she's like crying hysterically, but she's not doing this stupid like, you know, hide the truth bullshit that these other people do. And she's like, I don't want to be alone anymore. Like, you stole me from my family.
So, yeah, I was also really proud of Jessica. And then it pays off real big because they're literally sparring in the living room. And he's, like, teaching her how to defend herself. And it just makes me really happy. And this is information that she needed to know.
Yeah, and then they have, like, Bill opens up to her, and like Bill talks to her about Sookie. It's really nice. Like, you guys are family. Just be a fucking family.
Yes.
They're both so emo.
I know. And they're both so lonely.
Case, I love it. And in,
they're very
yes,
lonely, both of
yes.
them, too.
In Jessica's case, I love it. In Bill's case, I'm like, you need to figure it out, buddy. Like, it's been too long for you to still brood like this. I mean, it's just too much. But I just love Jessica being like, okay, but like, maybe you and Sookie did get in a fight, and maybe you did get her injured and actually injure her personally, but the whole time she was out there looking for you, she was wearing your ring. Like,
yeah,
it's just really cute.
It is really cute.
And then Jessica's just free roaming through the woods, and Hoyt is just in the episode now, and he's just driving his truck, and he's so moody, and he drives by, and behind the bushes, we get to see Jessica, like, eating a werewolf.
Yes, it's great.
Like, later in the episode. It's wonderful, and the music they play is, like, straight up off the Queen of the Damned soundtrack, and I just eat that up.
That's awesome. Yeah, I kind of put that.
It's not actually on the soundtrack, yeah. It just sounds the same.
Even though, yeah. Like, that is like, a Bill Jessica scene also, I put it in the Sookie notes, because it was, like, a whole big thing.
Yeah, I just...
No.
Did not pay
attention. No, you're fine. I meant more, like, we'll get into it a little bit more, like, why she's doing that.
Oh, yeah.
So, lastly, I think, is Sookie and company. All the people around her. A lot of which we've already hinted at.
Yeah.
So Bill and Sookie are, like, at the hospital. They're still at the hospital, I think, at this point. And, like, they realize they can't live as, like, a normal couple. I hate the word normal. But in this point, I mean, like, two humans that are, like, can, you know, have life. Like, one of them is not going to, like, live forever is kind of what I just meant.
Yeah. Like, life in the daytime.
Yeah.
Get married. Have kids if she wants to.
Yeah, she loves being in the sun. That's, like, one of her number one characteristics. And she's spending all of her time socially at night right now.
Yeah. This is, you know, Bill's done fucked up shit to her now. So yeah. I really love her saying, like, I don't even know how to start forgiving you.
Yeah.
Like, it's really not a question of whether she wants to be with him or not. Like, he hurt her emotionally and physically.
Yes. Yeah. And I think that it's probably very complicated for her because... I mean, she says this, like, she and Tara, like, have a couple back and forths, like, throughout the like, episode where, or maybe I just mean, like, the episode in general is, like, kind of trying to, like, debate how to discuss this within the episode. Like, Tara's calling, Jason calls it domestic abuse, although he can't find the words to say that. and, you know, Tara keeps calling him her abuser and stuff, and like I don't think that they're wrong, but like Sookie also knows that he can't help it, so it's like very complicated. I don't think that there's a right answer here. It's a lot.
Yeah, I think especially with the question, well, okay, so like just a couple things, which is that Tara really doesn't want Sookie to be left alone and doesn't want Sookie to be with Bill at all. And Alcide also doesn't want Sookie to be left alone. And I think that's hot because I think Alcide is hot. Yep. And he stays at her house and is, like, going to watch out for werewolves. Andy and Jason show up and they demand that Sookie press charges against Bill, which she doesn't want to do, which is obviously what you were saying. That,
yeah,
you know,
I kind of skipped that part over by accident.
Bill couldn't help it. Yeah. So... mostly I just think it's important to remember that this is like pure fiction, like because of like how this show handles things, like it definitely cannot be taken as prescriptive, and so it's like there's not like a good way to talk about like whether this is like domestic, because the show's gonna be like it's fine, they're together.
Well, I think
you just
I
have
think
to roll with it or you can't watch the show.
Yeah, and I think that the show gets away with not even answering the question because they just show both sides of it.
Yes. And I mean, this is where it gets like really sticky, because this is what people actually say about like actual domestic violence. And I'm not one of those people. But in the instance of the show, when vampires exist and like drinking blood and being violent is like the natural imperative of a vampire, it's just like different. So it's like, Sookie actually gets to decide whether she's willing to put up with the shit from Bill.
Yeah.
Like, if this was a podcast about Love Lies Bleeding, I'm singing a different tune. I just do think it's worth mentioning that this is so much worse in the book.
It is worse in the book.
So much worse.
It is.
Like, when I'm reading the book, it's the question for me isn't, is this domestic violence? The question for me is, like, is this a straight-up rape?
Yeah, he does rape her in the
horrible.
Book.
Yes, but she doesn't ever say that.
No. I read that part today, And
yeah,
it's rough. It's really rough, and it's awful, and like, you know, because that could have very easily have happened in the show. I'm very glad that they just took that out. We don't need more rape in things. Although, you still have that same rape. You know, there is rape, and it involves Tara, just not Sookie.
Yeah, so I mean, this is like a real gray area, but also, like I said, like this is fiction, and this is the main ship of this show, so.
It's not my main ship.
No, it's not mine either. I mean, right now I'm just like deeply on the Sookie and Alcide train.
I like that.
I'm like a hoe for ships when it comes to this show, though.
Yeah, my OCP is always going to be Sookie and Eric, but. And especially, that's, like, actually more in the book also. Because he flirts with her constantly in the book. Like,
oh, yeah. And it's not literally like any other motive in the, he's just, like, he loves
in the book, in chapter 13, I think. Because I was, like, talking about this. I was going to say this later, but I'm just going to say it now. Like, he literally, like, asks her if she's as dramatic in all her relationships with the on again, off again as she is with Bill. And she just has to be like, he's my first boyfriend. I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. But at the same time, like, he just asks her because he's like, assumes that they'll be together later. And he also introduces her as my future lover.
I know. I love it. It's awesome.
Very funny. Oh God, I love Book Eric so much. The future lover thing was so funny.
Yeah, it's really good.
But yeah, I agree. Like, you know, real quick before we get to this, like Sookie almost finds out that Jason killed Eggs from like reading his mind, and he leaves and everything. And then right after that, Alcide ends up having to leave too because Debbie burned down his sister's fucking salon.
Yeah, before he finds this out, Sookie is, like, crying in the sun, and I'm just like, this is so relatable.
Oh,
like,
yeah, I'm sorry I missed that scene.
On television. Yeah. But, and the only reason it's important for me to mention is both because I too have cried while laying in the sun, but also because Tara joins Sookie, and they have, like, a really nice moment, but then Tara gets upset because she doesn't want Sookie to be with Bill, and she tells Alcide to flirt some sense into that girl.
They have this real, okay, so first Debbie's fucking unhinged, like, for reals, but Alcide and Sookie have this really nice moment where they both kind of admit, like, they would have been a better fit romantically, and, like, but they also very much know that they're in love with other people.
I know. Earlier in the episode, he, like, brushes her little hair behind her ear.
Yes, I remember that. Yeah.
And now they're thinking really hard about kissing, and I would like them to do it, but they don't.
Later, when Sookie is alone, Hadley shows up, and of course, like, Sookie's completely, rightfully on edge, and, like, basically holds a shotgun to her cousin's face, and then lowers it. So yeah, Hadley shows up to tell her Eric's message, which is that Russell's coming for her and don't trust Bill. And like, Sookie's rightfully like, am I supposed to trust Eric on this? Like, what does he have to say? Or like, who is he?
I do not trust Eric.
Yeah. So this scene was a bit sad though, because Hadley had been gone for such a while that like, she had to tell her that Gran was dead. That was really sad. And we find out from Hadley's guilt as she leaves that she's the one that told the vampires about her abilities in the first place.
I mean, I really do think that there is some story about how Hadley ended up with the vampires.
I don't remember either, but I would read like a little novella of that.
Yeah, definitely. I just think that there has to be more to come there. Like this, the Hadley thing has been kind of slow rolled, and now we know that, you know, it involves Sookie more than just the fact that it's her cousin. That always seemed a little bit like a coincidence.
Right.
Like, too much of a coincidence.
Yeah.
We'll just see.
I don't know. Yeah. I'm just thinking of it. I mean, were you on the episode where they, like, had when Sookie was, like, unconscious and she was, like, in that other reality type thing.
No, that was last episode. And I'm going to be honest, I meant to listen to it before we recorded this one and I didn't.
Because, like, I kind of also wonder, like, I'm still wondering, like, what's going on with Sookie?
Yeah. What are you?
Yeah.
She is a brawling bad bitch because she has to fight Debbie.
Yes. It just, sorry. It was just occurring to me that like I could have we could read the notes that they took for the episode.
Oh, we could.
Yeah. Anyway, Debbie.
Did Sookie know that Bill and Jessica were there, or is this just where she had planned to like make her stand if someone came to the house?
I think that she does. Debbie know, or does Sookie know?
Does Sookie know?
No, but she did say earlier that she knew, she felt that Bill would come.
Yeah, okay.
So, like, she probably hasn't seen him, but, like, she probably, I think she felt his presence, too. I don't know how that works.
Yeah, because it definitely just sort of seems like a trap for the werewolves, but, you know, it still can be one, even if Sookie didn't know.
Right.
Because they get sidetracked by Bill and Jessica, and Debbie makes her way up alone to Sookie, which is why they end up squaring up.
I just found this whole fight to be so much fun. Like, it was all the werewolves, a bunch of vampires, and Sookie. they're just really... I just also found Jessica, like, really cute, like, fighting.
Yes.
She had that little sparring lesson.
A great time.
But she does.
It's just wonderful for her to be part of the game.
I know. I do think that, like, she makes the mistake of leaving the house. And, you know, Russell catches her. And then Russell feeds on her. And I'm like, does a vampire get anything out of feeding on another vampire? Or is Russell just fucking crazy? And then I think it's the latter.
I think Russell's just crazy. Yeah, I think so. I don't know. I don't think that there's anything in, like, the canon of the show to tell us that it would be usual for vampires to feed on each other.
Yeah.
Like, it happens in Vampire Diaries, and it actually does seem to, like, nourish them, but, you know.
Interesting. I don't remember the order here, but I know that, like, Russell was, like, beating up on Bill for a bit, but it's also, like, Russell's gonna try to make Bill pick between Jessica and Sookie, like, which one is gonna die or live,
yes.
I guess.
Yes. He's like, I'll give you Jessica back if you give me Sookie.
Yeah.
Who's in the house. Yeah, I think in my headcanon, Jessica convinced Bill that they should come watch Sookie's house because his enemies are coming after everyone.
I think so. I think Jessica.
That's what I believe.
I'm going to choose to believe that with you.
I love it. I don't really remember, like, the turn of events either, but anyway, Jessica ends up getting away and Russell has Bill, and like the filmmaking of that fight, like after Russell has Bill, like really actually does make Russell feel like the villain.
Yeah, I would
of
I,
the season
especially,
and it was like the first time I really felt that way,
especially it being episode 8, like we're 2/3 in, we should know who the big bad is.
Yeah.
At this point, like that makes complete sense to me, so yeah. I agree. During the aforementioned confusing scene of consent, Eric does stake Talbot, which Russell feels immediately and screams and runs home. And so Bill is like, what the hell just happened? But it was just coincidence timing.
Yes.
And during the fight, Sookie gets the gun and lets Debbie go. Eventually.
Yeah.
Which I thought was very nice of her.
I mean, to be honest, like, it's Sookie didn't want to kill her, and Debbie knew that to begin
with.
Like, because anybody who was, you know, going to do that would have done it right off the rip. But that just isn't Sookie.
No, it isn't. And I think it was smart not to, like, injure her further, because you know that girl is spiteful.
Mm-hmm. Like, at this point, y'all are basically even.
Yeah.
So this needs to be dropped.
Yeah. I don't actually remember what happens with them, but I don't think that was the last of
either.
Debbie. I think we do see her again. I just don't remember, like, if it was this season, another season.
Yeah.
I would say, unsurprisingly, after this big fight that goes down, Sookie and Bill, of course, admit that they love each other and bang immediately.
Yeah, so it looks like Sookie figured out how to forgive Bill, I guess. I feel like you didn't have enough time to work through those emotions properly, and I'm sure that it will be fine.
Everyone is happy.
The sex they have is, like, nearly violent.
Yeah.
And I, like, and this is the cliffhanger. Like, them having sex is the cliffhanger, yeah. Which I'm like, how is this a cliffhanger? Yeah. It's like, they bang all the time.
And they get but back I together all the time.
Yeah. I am sort of reading this as if, like, this, like, vibe change, this, like, tone shift, this, like, darker, like, violent, maybe more, like, emotionally, like, dark area that Sookie and Bill are in, like, maybe that's the cliffhanger? Like, oh, they got back together and it's going to be horrible? I don't know.
I mean, that would be really funny. Do you want to rank that cliffhanger before we go any further?
Yeah, I just don't think that this is a very high up there cliffhanger.
No, I feel like it's maybe the, like, for me, it's, like, almost the lowest.
I mean, I'm fine with that because, like, why?
Yeah.
They were broken up for less than one episode.
Yeah. Okay, so we're going to say violent makeup sex.
Plus, we're eventually going to re-rank these with the input of all the friends.
So. Yeah.
Then we'll find out for sure.
So it's going under episode. So the it's going under episode 207, which was Godric rescue Sookie, which we kind of with which Melissa and I also ranked together, and we were like, this isn't even a cliffhanger. So I think that I feel really good about our number 32.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't think we had any character intros this episode, did we?
Holly.
Oh, Jesus Christ, yes.
But that's it.
Yeah, and I feel like we said all and, we you know, have said about waitress, her.
They have kids. We don't really know that much yet.
Yeah, it does seem like, it automatically seems to me that she and Arlene will, like, get along fine.
Yeah.
Superlatives. So, who would you say, who or what was most chaotic?
Well, I'm just stealing these from your notes because it is Debbie. I don't think that anyone is more chaotic than Debbie. Like, I almost think that, like, Eric staking Talbot is going to have the type of repercussions that means that this is a chaotic decision. But yeah. For Eric, it wasn't. And so it doesn't count.
Yeah, Eric really, like, Eric killing the lover of the person that killed his family, like, doesn't... Like, when you phrase it that way, to me, it doesn't feel chaotic at all. So I think, yeah, the it's going to be a shit show tomorrow, but right now,
I don't think that this is even the revenge. I just think that this is getting Russell's attention.
Yeah.
Like, hey, buddy, you have a problem. It's a big revenge going on out here.
Big revenge. So what would you put for most horny?
Alcide and Sookie for their, like, alternative universe nice life they had together where neither of them have ever met a vampire.
Oh, that is actually really sweet. Mine was less sweet. I just think Talbot is really horny for not even specifically Eric, but just, like, for a good time because he's attention. Fucking bored. Yeah.
Yes, I agree. Oh, Talbot, RIP. You were king.
This is the part of the episode where we will talk book stuff and some spoilers, and I don't think I have that much to say in about spoilers except for, like, a little thing, so you might not be worried about skipping this. Safe. But yeah, I was just gonna say, like, Holly is big in regards to season 4, some of the plot in that. And I'm looking forward to starting that. But I also think this her joining in this episode kind of made me think about... I mean, I'm not going to say anything about who's good or bad, but, like, her joining at episode 8 kind of reminds me of when Marianne came in season 1, mm-hmm. like, because that kind of started the season 2 plot line, like, sooner. So it made me feel that a little bit.
Yeah, I see it. I just think it's crazy that I literally only have, like, 4% of this book left, and there are 4 episodes left.
Yeah, this book really does not, I'm
like,
on...
I truly have no idea.
Yeah. How much do I have left? I have like 45 minutes left of this audiobook. And that's only because I listen to it like quicker, like fast, sped up. Yeah, I'm in chapter 14 of like 15. So I basically have a chapter and a half left. And like, I don't even think like it matches up anymore. Like, I've kind of lost track comparing the book and the show. Like, the main...
Yeah, I mean, the bones are there. Sookie gets Bill. Lorena gets staked.
Yeah. But it feels really different. Like, a lot of the extra stuff, like, we don't have... Like, Debbie's not in it as much, unless there's something I, like, haven't gotten to yet. Eric is just, like, helping Sookie, like, outright the whole time. Like, he's... Mm-hmm. He's not playing.
Yeah,
like...
everything about Eric's backstory, I think, is show invention.
Yeah,
which is, like, honestly, pretty incredible.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting, and actually, I really enjoy like the vampire history stuff. Yeah, I didn't really have much else to say about the book or spoilers, except, well, I guess I could say a little bit more about Holly. Like, season four has a lot of like, you know, this season we met werewolves. So next season we meet some witches.
Hell yeah.
So Melissa, where can folks find you on the interwebs?
You can find me on Blue Sky and Letterboxd and Instagram at Mellow Yellow or Mellow Yellow XX. And you can listen to my other podcast, Wild Pretty Things, on Patreon.
You can find me on Blue Sky, Letterboxd, and Storygraph at Chicken Tendi. That's T-E-N-D-I. You can find my other podcast, Pod Rates, a Deep Space Nine rewatch podcast, on Blue Sky and Instagram at Pod Rates. That's P-O-D-W-R-A-I-T-H-S. And wherever you listen to podcasts. Thanks very much to DJ Empirical for our theme. You can find the pod on Instagram and Blue Sky at FangBangersPod and email us your chaotic horny thoughts on True Blood, please, to FangBangersPod@gmail.com. And I'm Elise, and my blood type is a special cunt.
And I'm Melissa, and my blood type is buying my way out of everything because this is America.
Russell knows what's up. Bye.
Bye.